The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That'll be on my mind, on my lips, in my heart. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Say to God, "How tremendous are your deeds." Every day we can wake up to such beauty all around us. Maybe we get so used to it we forget how beautiful it is and what once was captivating to us. The Jesuit, if you don't know this guy, please look him up. The Jesuit paleontologist, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, his name, his writings were originally suppressed by the Vatican and also by the Jesuits, by his order. I came across him when my uncle, who was a Dominican priest, when I was in my teens, gave me a book called The Phenomenon of Man, which was, I don't know, like another language to me. I didn't understand it. But he was fascinated by natural sciences. He recognized the long, long, slow process of evolution within the cosmos. And he saw God active within evolution. And he identified the pattern as follows, as attraction, connection, complexity, and consciousness within this big history of evolution. So from the Big Bang, 14.7 billion years or whatever, take a few years here and there, of the universe, Teilhard reflected upon how basic elements would combine with other elements to create more complex materials. And that's what we do. He suggested that the fundamental attraction between these elements was a kind of an energy, and specifically, an energy of love. That's what does it. The attraction. This simple, primal attraction formed the basis of increasing complexity to manifest new things in the cosmos. And that's been going on, new things, for 14.7 billion years now. For Teilhard, God and the cosmos were entangled. And God inspires and he empowers the law-like regularities, including this evolutionary process. So he coined the term Christogenesis. Christogenesis. Look it up. Maybe you might join a Christophany group. But it's called Christogenesis to describe this co-creative relationship between God and created life in this march of evolution towards even greater love and greater wholeness. Teilhard was inspired deeply by the idea that all things are held together in Christ, as St. Paul would say, in Christo, in Christ. Everything is in Christ. So, for approximately 14.7 billion years, the continually expanding cosmos of galaxies, and I don't know how many galaxies there are now, when I grew up there was one, I think. Now there's billions upon billions, who have billions of those, galaxies upon billions, billions and billions of stars, nebulae, planets even, what was it, how many planets, seven planets or nine planets, what was it?
Nine
planets, but then they got rid of one.
Pluto
got kicked out, but he got back in, I think. So, this is crazy, but all this, all the time, black holes, this showcased this ongoing evolution, this evolutionary story. And this is not, sorry for you who don't believe in it, but this is not a theory. This is fact. You're not entitled to your own facts. So it's not a theory. It started with small things, very small things, and simple things. I can't go into it because we'd be here for 14.7 billion years. But then it became more complex, with potential for novelty at every step of the way. It was something new. And then, in the fullness of time, life emerges, and in time, life produces consciousness. I always think, who was the first person to become conscious, and everybody else wasn't? It must have been pretty difficult to live, as it is now. But anyways, people are at different stages of consciousness. We can see that in life. But anyways, life produces consciousness. And for the first time, the cosmos becomes conscious of itself. And the pinnacle of this conscious life is you, is us, is the human. We continue to evolve and become even more creative and complex over time. And I always think, what's a human going to look like in 1,000 years from now? What's going to happen? Who knows? But it's kind of fun to think about it. The cosmos, now conscious in human beings, can now influence its own evolution and the entire planet because of our intimate relationship that we have with Mother Earth, with the planet, with our home. It's our home. And as complexity and consciousness expand and continue to expand, so does the human capacity to be more complex and to have more complex expressions and experiences of love. So as we experience love in deeper ways, we stretch to express that love around us. We discover that love begets love. We begin to awaken that in every moment we can choose from a host of possibilities to love or not to love. We can choose the ones that are consistent with what we have available around us, the context of the situation that we're in, and by God's grace. So for Teilhard, the core of everything is love. He saw the God who is love shimmering at the very heart of matter itself. And from this perspective, the direction of the evolution of the cosmos is towards more and ultimate love, which is known in the end as Omega. The God who is love calls us, encouraging us and empowering us to love more. You know, some of our best stories, and I must say some of our worst stories, are about God. But God expresses God's love for humans and within the cosmos through relational, self-giving love. The theologian Thomas J. Ord is his name, and there are other theologians as well, who explores this idea, which is called essential kenosis. Now, it's very simple. Kenosis, an emptying. Okay, that's what it means, an emptying. God empties God's self. We see that in the scriptures. This theologian asserts that God's essence is love. And all God's attributes flow from love. So this means that God can't act against God's nature of love. God can't. God has to love, because that is who God is. I always say in a negative, God cannot not love. God cannot not love you. You are loved, and you'll always be loved. My brothers and sisters, we get to partner with God as we choose to love in every moment of our everyday. Every moment of every day, we can choose. To choose love is to lean into the very moment for maximizing love. God loves by self-giving. We see that. Jesus preaches that. God affords us freedom and self-motivation and direction. But God does not control us or control the cosmos. While God doesn't control this almighty God that some people want, control everything, control your prayers, love doesn't control. Love encourages, love empowers, love coaxes us towards the greatest possible love that there is. This God who is love is at work in the world, present in us with a host of possibilities to love. And so in choosing love, we co-create with God. So my brothers and sisters, we the cosmos, who are now conscious, are invited to participate in what's called the Christification of the cosmos. Through this self-giving love, we partner with God to form Christ's body in the cosmos towards wholeness through love in Christ. And the wonderful thing about our calling now is that our love can often show itself in the mundane. And that's really how most of us love. In the many actions that we do every single day. The day-to-day serving of others in our families, with laundry, with ironing, with cleaning out the cat box, or while wiping a runny nose. Those are all acts of love. Loving might be bearing with each other. We just have to bear with one another while we deal with our own stuff that we're going through. Love is simple as forgiving and being forgiven. It's both the giving and the receiving of love. So love is visiting the sick, volunteering in the community or at the parish, running errands for an elderly friend, or helping an old priest with his new iPad. In everyday life, we partner with God by loving as best that we're able to. And so in the end, my friends, when we use our power, and everybody has power, everybody has influence on others, and our resources at work, to work for a vibrant and a just and an equitable planet. When we do that, we partner with God. We partner with God as we act to advocate for the poor, for those who suffer injustice, who are discriminated against, who are dehumanized. These things we do for those often considered the least among us, we do for Christ. When we choose to love, we quite naturally resist the pull of greed that is so rampant in our society. We refuse to get tied up and pulled into retributive violence and get back at others, and indiscriminate consumption of goods, and exploitation of our planet, Mother Earth. You know, in this story, this love story that we are part of, and we're only part of it for snap of a finger time. I mean, it's over. It's over. We know that. You only see yourself within that 14.7 billion years. Your lifespan is that quick. But in this love story, and what we do in our choices and our actions, whether they're small or large, they matter. What you think and the thoughts you put out there matter. We are invited to live our lives as a gift for others, we're told. And so partnering with God in love shapes our new story. And we're to shape that story as Christians, connecting us in more tangible ways to ourselves, to one another, to our planet, to the cosmos, and to the divine, to God.